Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
Joanna Fortune joins us once again. Joanna, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Right, first question for you, Joanna, is this. It's quite a long one. I have a 12-year-old boy who gets in trouble a lot at school for things he has not done. He's very active and is the centre of his circle of friends, but he seems to have become the one to blame when things go wrong. It's as if the teachers assume he must be to blame. It upsets him a great deal. Of course, he has been in trouble for things he has done also, but on numerous occasions, he has come home with a note from a teacher saying he has done something that he hasn't. Even when the other kids appeal to the teacher that he wasn't involved, he's still punished. I have broached this with the teachers in the past, often they have admitted that he didn't do anything, but now the teachers will no longer communicate with me and say to go to the principal if I have any issues. So I've really stopped trying in that sense. My question is, I have taught him to stand up for himself if he feels he's being wronged. His mother, on the other hand, who's a school teacher, teaches him that the teacher is always right, even when he thinks she's wrong, and that he must put up with any punishment without protest. He's getting mixed messages from us. For his mother, conformity to authority is the most important thing. For me, it's a matter of principle not to take the blame for something he hasn't done. Even his mother's parents have got involved and lectured me about how important it is for both of us to be sending the same message, her message. But to me, the message is just plain wrong. He's two younger siblings watching this going on also. Should I capitulate? Will that be harmful to him and his siblings? Teaching him that conformity for conformity's sake is okay. Is it too late to capitulate and change my tune now? His mother won't budge on this. Is there any way of telling him that sometimes people disagree on how to handle things and that there's a part, and that's a part of life too? It is confusing him and I'm a bit lost as to how to move on this. Any advice?
I'm going to come at this kind of from the bottom up and then the top down again because there's quite a lot in it. At the end, when this parent is asking, is there a way of telling him that sometimes people disagree on how to handle things and that it's a part of life too? Yes, there is a way, and that's exactly the way to do it, exactly like it's written there that they wrote in. So do it that way. You're wondering, is it confusing? You're saying it's confusing. I'm going to back you up and say it's definitely confusing the child to be getting mixed messages. So first and foremost, rather than thinking about it in terms of should you capitulate, should you give in, that kind of language is quite unhelpful. But as parents, you need to address the disconnect on this topic because it's a pretty big one and it's clearly causing ripples in the family unit and the dynamics. So I'm going to say consider a couples counselling session. And that's not to say this is about, you know, other issues in your relationship. That's up to you. But you could simply go on this issue and make an appointment saying there is something coming up around the parenting and that you would like to a sort of safe space to talk it through where everybody feels they can be heard, which often is a neutral space like a therapist's office because it just puts that little bit of manners on people that you can't descend into. Yeah. Total chaos, or at least you'll be half an hour in before it does, and a lot will get said. So I think that could be useful. And then going back to the top of the letter, that he's getting into trouble for things he hasn't done, it's sounding as though your son has somehow along the way earned a reputation in school, and whether that's fair or not, it may be there. And it may be something you've said here really struck me, that he's active and the centre of his circle of friends. And sometimes if you're a teacher standing in front of a room of 30 odd kids and your back is turned because you're writing on the board, and often it's the loudest voice you hear whose name you call. And if he's the centre of his circle, if he's kind of boisterous and interactive and it's his voice that's always carrying loudest to the top of the room, perhaps the teacher is, to be fair to the child, defaulting to Simon, stop it, or whatever it is, without even turning around. It's what's happening next, I would suspect, that if the answer is I didn't do it and the other kids are backing you up, but if how you're challenging the teacher is deemed to be cheeky, rude, confrontational, because there is a difference between defending yourself and being confrontational and cheeky. And soon the punishment is going to become about how you've handled it rather than what was or wasn't done. So there's a few layers to that that need to be picked apart. And that's why I think a couples counselling session would be useful. It does sound like in how you're approaching it with the school, if the teacher is not you're mentioning teachers, so I imagine this isn't just happening this year in school, but if they're not prepared to talk to you, it's either that this has happened a lot and you've been up and down a lot having the same conversation, or perhaps the approach you're taking isn't actually serving you well. But it may be start as a couple to address the disconnect, then request a meeting with the teacher in the presence of the principal and respect the boundary the teacher has put in place,
yeah,
and address this. But I think you've got to stop sending your son mixed messages. It's okay for him to say, that's not what happened. Can I tell you what happened, teacher, without getting into a standoff between him and the teacher. He's 12 years old. He's very soon, if not next year, going to be going into secondary school, where he's going to have to make multiple transitions through the day to and deal with multiple teachers. You need him better able to handle situations.
Mm. I doubt as well if his mother, who is a teacher, is saying you should just conform for the sake of conformity. I imagine her position is probably a bit more nuanced than that.
Well, generally, everyone has their perspective on this, and nuance is always a part of that. But whatever's going on, there's a big disconnect between the parents and how to handle this, and children will spot that and they will exploit that divide. So first and foremost, I'm going to suggest you do whatever's necessary to get at least mostly onto the same page.
Yeah. Now, Glenna on Twitter says, tell that man to take his child and run. Sid says, wait a sec, any parent that sits back and allows their child to be punished for something they didn't do is not being a good parent, and that's being polite. And at the same time, he's alleging that the teachers admit that they routinely blame his son for something he doesn't do. That doesn't...
But they are referring him to the principal. I mean, there's a lot in that. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think a meeting with in the presence of the principal, you know, to respect the boundary the teacher's putting down, but a meeting with the school, with both parents, because it's also how I'm hearing this is that this parent is going up to the school, not the mum.
Yeah.
And so I think if the parents get on the same page and approach together as a couple, sitting with the principal and the teacher and say, look, there has been a pattern of this happening. It is something we want to turn around, particularly if at 12, I don't know, he might have another year left in the school. Mm. So you do have an opportunity to end his primary school experience on a good note, but it's about how it's addressed now.
Yeah. Now, I do relate to his situation. Yeah. All my children claimed that they were blamed by teachers for things they never did. The poor little darlings, all of them were victimized all the way through school. I think it was because they were just too good looking and intelligent.
That's it. They stood out.
Poor things. Yeah, yeah. That's what it was. What's the best way to discipline a 2-year-old who throws food on the ground and everything is a no-no? I need to stop these tantrums as they're getting worse and more frequent. Please help.
You know, welcome to the terrible, not pleasant, but very developmentally normal 2s.
Yeah.
This is exactly what a 2-year-old does. So I'm very keen not to psychopathologize everything that children do and to normalize it where it is developmentally normal. And this does fit into that category, I'm afraid to say. Between kind of 6 and 8 months old, children throw food away and it's not intentional. It's simply something that they do. It's quite random. But after 8 months and beyond it, and certainly up to 2 years old, it can be an exercise in learning cause and effect. If I throw it, what do you do? And if I throw it again, do you do the same thing? Oh, wait, it gets louder the more I do it. Let me see. And they're testing things out. To put a little kind of positive reframing on it, when there is this kind of control locus on food, learning to throw food, it's, while I can imagine parents now rolling their eyes, but I'm going to tell you it helps develop fine motor skills as well. But I know they're all going, make her stop.
Sorry. But you should set up a little target for them.
But it would be better if you rolled up, you know, little balls, even paper balls, and have your 2-year-old do that. So give them something they can throw.
Yeah.
Would be, I redirect it that way. But, you know, let's focus on that. Oh, there is a little secondary gain there. It is normal, in other words, but it is also incredibly frustrating, because I think in the beginning when your young child starts throwing food, you're almost thinking it's cute. Oh, look what they're doing. Oh, stop it. And you're playful in how you try to redirect them. But then it reaches a stage where you're worrying, well, if it's all on the floor, how much of it is in their tummies? Mm. And it brings a whole new worry. And then you're like, okay, I'm done cleaning the floor. This has to stop. So I would say don't react, but respond. Pick it up. Say very firmly, food stays on the table or food is not for throwing, whichever way you want to do it. But ensure everyone in the family is responding the same way. So if you've slightly older children, make sure they're not laughing or they're not mimicking or they're not provoking or encouraging it. Try to get everyone reacting the same way. If your child is sitting in some kind of a high chair or, you know, supported chair, push, if there's a tray, get rid of it. And if not, just push it right into the table so that the floor is less visible. Because if I don't really see it, might not occur to me to keep throwing it. So you might now get it thrown on the table instead, but it's not the floor. And then the last thing I'm going to say to you is maybe they're full. You know, sometimes when children, especially the age of two, when they start throwing their food away, it's because they're done with it and they feel like, well, if I don't see it, I don't have to eat it. So just have a little reflect on how many snacks is the child eating during the day, how much fluids, and make sure that they're hungry enough for their food, or just put out a little at a time and don't put down any more until that little has been eaten.
Mm-hmm.
And look at it that way. And do you know what? If you have a family dog, that could be a hindrance in this one, because often they throw the food down for the dog.
For the dog, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good, but at the same time, there's and you know, because she's linked together, and everything is no.
Yeah.
And I know that from my toddler, that she, and in the evening time when she's a bit tired, she hits a dip around, unfortunately, when I pick her up.
Yeah.
And so then everything is the source of a tantrum. You don't even know what it is half the time. She doesn't know what it is.
Because they're dysregulated. They're tired.
They're tired.
So,
but she'll do this thing where you put food in front of her and she'll push it to the edge of the table. And she knows. Like, she's not doing it because she's testing her motor skills. She's doing it to tell you to F off.
She's testing her cause and effect skills.
Oh, yeah.
That's what she's doing.
But she does it gradually, as if she knows.
She's testing her parents. Yeah.
And we usually fail the test most of the time. All right, we do have more questions for Joanna. We'll take a break first. Back in a couple of minutes. 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cent. A few comments on some of the questions we've had already on the first one about the 12-year-old who his dad thinks is getting blamed for things that he's not doing. Somebody suggests that maybe the little darling is acting up. Luke says, I was that student. The answer is actually easy. He earned the reputation, and she admits he is guilty some of the time, so he needs to not give them a reason to accuse him. His reputation is his responsibility. Clean up his act for a month and all will be grand. Another text says, I knew a boy like him when I was at school. His mother kept asking, why is it always my child? The answer was that he was a genuine bully and a little bollocks, both to his parents and fellow pupils. We're not saying that's necessarily the answer in this case, but, you know, sometimes parents don't see their kids the way they are when perhaps they're in the schoolyard. And the woman will regret believing her 12-year-old son's pleas of innocence. Teachers know their problem students, trust me, says another texter. Or indeed, it's, I think, the father you'd be referring to there.
Yeah.
Is there a book Joanna would recommend for positive parenting? I have 8-month-old twins. They're starting to pull each other's hairs and ears. I'm not sure what the right thing to do is.
I mean, I would. And in a few months, I'll recommend mine to you. But it's not out until the end of the summer. So I'm going to, in the interim, recommend to this parent books that are on the shelves. There's one called 0 to 5 by Tracy Cutchlow. And I think it's Tracy with an EY, T-R-A-C-E-Y, Cutchlow. And that's actually, it's a very practical one. You know, it's going to give you month by month, year by year. And I think it's going to address a lot of what you're talking about there. Then there's ones that are a little bit more theoretical, but can be very interesting from a parent point of view, either Raising a Secure Child, which is by Hoffman, Cooper and Powell, who developed that program Circles of Security. But they've written that book, which is for parents, or indeed Dan Siegel's Parenting from the Inside Out. Now, they're all very much about parents reflecting on our own stuff and looking at what gets triggered in us by our children's behavior, and that our responses are often as a result of what's triggered in us rather than what the child is doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to say pick them up, have a flick through them before you commit to buying them. But the Tracy Cutchlow one might be what you're looking for. Now, what you're describing with 8-month-old twins doing that is actually very normal. But you now need to start putting in your boundaries and limit setting, because you're coming into that kind of second attachment cycle about limit setting. So you want to use a gentle yet firm no. Then redirect. Now you've two of them, there's always going to be more of them than you, so you know
knows.
You're going to have to do that twice, but redirect while using their hands. So redirect a clap handy song, something with rhythm and synchrony. It's definitely not intentional at their age. So distraction is your friend. Songs with actions that involve the hands, get them moving. That's what I would do.
My 5-year-old son snores like an old drunk. He even has purple bags under his eyes and looks exhausted the whole time. The GP referred to us to the children's clinic. An ENT appointment was made for 3 years' time. The ENT on Adelaide Road won't see him until he is 14. Can you offer any help?
How frustrating for that parent. That's what I want to say first and foremost. An appointment 3 years away. I mean, how do you even write that down? Will you even remember? So, I mean, basically what I'm suspecting here is the main cause of snoring in children is enlarged tonsils or adenoids. That's the leading cause. But also from 3 years old onwards, children can snore simply if they're in the deeper stages of their sleep pattern. And there can, of course, be other anatomical factors, but only an ENT referral is going to discern the actual cause. So I imagine the GP has examined this child and is keen to look at the adenoids and tonsil situation. So unfortunately, that is all you can do is wait for an ENT appointment. Perhaps go back to your GP and let them know that the wait is 3 years. Maybe, maybe not. They could write a support letter seeking to expedite the process. Keep an eye and certainly write down and track if you have recurring tonsil infections or tonsil issues, because that might speed up the process for you and your child if it's something that's causing, you know, great distress, or he's missing huge amounts of school because of recurring infection. So things like that matter when you're on these waiting lists.
Yeah.
So I would say go back to your GP and talk about it again. But unfortunately, I don't have a magic answer for you other than an ENT.
Yeah. Now, and apart from going private, but I'm assuming that's
financially not an option. That's not cheap. Yeah.
Yeah. God, love you. My niece is a really happy 10-year-old. On the face of it, she's always happy, laughing and playing. She's great friends and does really well in school. But when she gets upset, she gets very violent, mainly with herself. She hits herself, says that she hates herself and that she's bad. Sometimes she says she wants to kill herself. Her temper is so out of character with her normal behaviour that it has me really worried. This has been going on since she's around 7. It triggers usually when she feels criticised, and she doesn't seem able to separate the idea that her behaviour is bad, not her as a person. Recently a pet died and it really sent her over the edge. She blamed herself a lot. Do you think this is a phase, or should help be sought? And if so, who?
She doesn't seem to be able to separate the idea that her behaviour is bad, not her as a person. That's really talking about a developing sense of self where, you know, I am a person who acts, feels and thinks in a certain way.
Mm.
By the age of 10, typically children have more control over emotional outbursts like this. So I understand the concern here, but I want to flag it that often children who seem angry and defiant, particularly in moments rather than all the time. So like this person's describing, that often these children have unrecognized anxiety. So in anxiety inducing situations, like where I would say, you know, a child's worry alarm gets triggered, you know, they get into that fight or flight mode, that instinct takes hold in them. So the upset or anger may actually be masking an underlying source of fear. So in that regard, she may well benefit from some sessions with a child psychotherapist. Now, I note this is someone writing in about their niece. So I want to flag very clearly that from this point on, if you are seeking professional help, it has to be her parents
who
follow up with this. You can't do that on their behalf. So her parents then, through a child psychotherapist, will also work with parents generally and guide them to help her separate out herself from her feelings and where her feelings live and what they're connected to, and work that out with her. In the short term, I would take actions like separate her from the action that's triggering this outburst, have her simply sit beside you, look out the window, have her name things that she can see, name things she can hear, things like that that really reset the brain. And again, another thing is to sit facing her, take her hands in yours, holding eye contact as you keep her hands, and ask her simply to do exactly like you do, which is to breathe slowly and deeply, and wait until she's mirroring your rhythm and synchrony with that. And that will take her from fight or flight mode back into rest mode. And in rest mode, you can talk to her about what's going on. So there are some practical things you could do. But if that was something that was recurring, I would want her referred.
Yeah. Now, funny enough, we just got a comment in that relates to that question we just had and the earlier one about the 2-year-old having tantrums. My daughter is 10 and still has tantrums. Mm. She had got a lot better, but in the last month, she is having at least one a day.
Oh, goodness.
I brought her to a psychologist when she was 6. He put some of her tantrums to a difficult birth.
Possibly, and that may be a root cause, but you then it's like, what course of action do you follow? If it's something like that, you're looking at joint parent-child therapy, something that's very much about relationship enhancing and support, like a TheraPlay, which is different to play therapy. I can't get into all that now, but TheraPlay is what you're looking at there. But certainly if a 10-year-old is having a daily tantrum, you know, that requires attention.
Yeah. Okay, finally, your most difficult question of the day. Are you ready, Joanna?
Oh my God.
How do I say to my 22-year-old daughter that she's put on a bit of weight?
Don't. Like, what are you thinking? No. Mm. So absolutely. And just to be clear, no, don't do that. What I'm going to say, though, is show a bit of compassion and empathy. Maybe sit with her or take her out or, you know, go somewhere with her and wonder how she is. How are you? What's going on in your life? Show that kind of compassion without reference to the weight gain. So it's not, I'm compassionate and wondering what's wrong with you because you've gained weight. You don't want to reference that at all because it's going to be very offensive. It's going to get defenses up and you're not going to achieve anything when you get someone's hackles aroused like that. Mm. So do not mention the weight, but maybe do link in and see, is there anything you could do? Maybe just offer a listening ear.
At the same time as well, you know, it's oftentimes it's a matter of opinion if someone's put on a bit of weight and whether that's necessarily a bad thing or not.
Absolutely.
If she feels happy, you know, happy in herself, then no problem.
Absolutely. I would always say to parents, no matter how old your child is, if they're 4, 14 or 40, you stay away from body issues like that unless you are invited in by the person who says, you know, I've gained a bit of weight, I'd like to talk about that. But otherwise, I think it's subjective, it's personal, and no good comes from those conversations. So go at it a different way, which is everything okay?
Yeah. And if everything's okay, then
leave it alone.
Everything's okay. Joanna, thanks a million for coming in to us. Joanna Fortune there. We're going to take a break. After that, Life on the Left Bank.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. GasNetworks.ie/MoveToGas.